From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of April 2014. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Hear the discussion I had with ag economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good, a bit earlier in the day about the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, released at 11 a.m. Central Time. Take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner and have reaction in the cash market with the folks at the Andersons facility in Logansport, Indiana, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group on this USDA Report Day. The WASDE, of course, released at 11 a.m. We'll talk more about those numbers in just a moment. May futures in the wheat pit at $6.69 were down 12 cents for the day. July soft red at $6.77 and a quarter, down 12 as well. The hard red at $7.40 and a quarter, down 8 and 3 quarters. May corn $5.02 and a quarter, 4 and 3 quarters lower. July at $5.08, down a nickel. September down a nickel at $5.06 and 3 quarters. And December corn at $5.05 and a half, down 7 and a half cents. March at $5.12 and 3 quarters, down 7 and a quarter. And the May at $5.17 and a quarter for next year, down 6 and a quarter. May beans were up 12 and 3 quarters, $14.95 and a quarter. The settled price July at $14.78, up 16 and a half. August soybeans $13.94 and 3 quarters, 11 and a half cents higher. September at $12.76, up 9. November at $12.27 and a half, a dime higher. And January beans at $12.32 and a half, up 10 cents for the day. March contract at $12.36, 9 and 3 quarters higher. Bean meal in the May at $4.82.10, up $4. Bean oil at $42.91. 80 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the April at 143.75, 42 and a half higher. June at 135, 62 and a half. Finished 35 cents higher. Feeder cattle in the April, 178, 87 and a half, up 57 and a half. In the May at $180, 22 and a half cents. $1.35 higher. August feeder cattle at 181.85, up $1.27 and a half cents. Lean hogs at 125.2 and a half, up 172 and a half, and May futures were up the $3 limit at 121.12 and a half. June futures there 121.75, up $3. Hey, have you dialed in yet this week with your pledge of financial support? I hope so. If not, we'll tell you more later, but you can get started now. 217-333-3434 is the number to call. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $103.45 a barrel. They're 89 cents higher. The Arbob gasoline or wholesale price up a penny and 8 cents at $2.99 and 8 cents. Ethanol futures trading $2.27 and 7 cents in the lead option. That's down 0.7 of a cent in the spread. Is 72 and 1/10 of a cent wide. That's back out to normal and actually fairly wide for the spread. And good for the use of ethanol at 2.5 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.57 and a half, up 4 and 1/10 of a cent. And diesel fuel, $2.95 a gallon, a penny and a half higher. Gold futures at $1,305.50, down 3.20. And the U.S. dollar at 79.48, it's down below 80. Haven't seen that for a bit, at 0.28 lower for the afternoon. Let's look at the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We, of course, are looking at a 60-degree temperature outside at this point, and we'll be moving much higher in the day. Yet, hopefully, we'll get to what? Much higher is another 3 degrees, but 63 is way better than anything else with sunny skies. West-southwest winds at 15 miles an hour tonight, clear and 46. Thursday, a 40% chance of showers. Those will come after 1 in the evening. Increasing clouds, a high of 69 degrees. Breezy with a west-southwest wind at 23 to 28. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy and 44. Friday, sunny and 65. Friday night, partly cloudy and 44. And on Saturday, mostly sunny skies and 69 degrees. Oh, we'll probably edge up to 70. Let's go with that. Saturday night, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 55. And on Sunday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 68 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A quick look at the WASDE figures as they came out this morning. We'll go through the ending stocks. Corn now at 1.331 billion bushels for this year's ending stocks. The March number was 1,456. The average trade estimate, by the way, is 1.4 billion. Soybeans at 135 million. Trade guess at 139, and the 135 is down 10 million from the 145 USDA had estimated back in the month of March. More on those numbers in a moment. We'll talk with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson, but a number I want you to dial. I want you to dial right now, 217-244-9455. Les Schulte, during his program yesterday afternoon, we asked for 13 calls, did not make that, but we did get a whole bunch of extra funds during that hour, and that's because I asked them to, well, up the ante just a bit and fund us at the $200 level, not the $120, and that made it through, and lots of people dialed in, a few of them anyway. We did catch, oh, I don't know, nearly $1,000 or something like that. Like to do it again today, and the number to call is 217-244-9455.
That's right, Todd. We're just asking people to put a value on this service, this agricultural service. Do you find yourself using it? Do you find yourself relying on this information, on the information you get from our agricultural analysts, the information that you find on our website and in our e-newsletter? Now we're asking you to, again, put a value on it. Maybe it is $200. Maybe it's more. Maybe it's less.
Either one's good.
Either one is good, but we need for you to do that right now because we're getting into the last few days of our spring pledge period, an important time when we collect the funds necessary to operate this station for another year starting July the 1st. And to encourage you to do that right now, we have a group of agricultural businesses who have come together to form a special fund this spring. For every pledge made during this spring membership drive that mentions agriculture, our group of ag businesses will each donate a dollar to WILL, and they will each donate a dollar to the College of ACES Agricultural Communications Scholarship Fund here at the University of Illinois. So your fund, your pledge right now really does double duty. It gets some extra dollars for WILL, and it gets some extra dollars that will go into the Ag Communications Scholarship Fund. We want to thank the businesses who are participating: Bates Commodities, AgriGold Seeds, Total Grain Marketing, the Andersons here in Champaign, Global Commodity Analytics, and Farm Credit Illinois.
Absolutely. Thanks to all of them. We do appreciate it that they are helping out, and we need your help now. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. I know you're going to wait until we get done talking with Jackie Vakes, but be ready to dial 217-244-9455. Before I get to Jackie, did you make note that Alma Mater arrived back on campus today?
That's why I was looking at the Alma Mater cam a little while ago, or I guess this morning, up right before lunch.
Who graduated, that is a big deal. Those of us who are an alum, I turned and made the ride down Green Street. She's up on her pedestal. She's there. She's beautiful, too. It's a magnificent thing for the alumnus. So, hey, if that's something that makes your lid flip, then dial in at 217-244-9455. And if you want to see what she looks like, go to willag.org. There is a photo there in my Twitter feed. You'll have to scroll down once you get to willag.org. But I've got her on the semi as she's coming in, which is kind of cool to see, too. So.
It's very nice. And also, if you want to make your pledge online, you can do that willpledge.org.
Oh, yeah. Or willag.org and just hit the red square at the top of the page. That's there a rectangle. And hit contribute now. On the phone line with us, patiently waiting, is Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
All right, so let's go through some of these numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture. USDA lowered the carryout for corn at 1.331 billion bushels, but corn didn't respond that way for the whole time today, did it?
No, it certainly didn't. I'm quite certain we have a lot of people who are very, very unhappy right at this stage of the game, thinking that, you know, that report was really very bullish looking on the face, but a person had to be concerned as we headed into the report and you saw how strong the numbers were, that an awful lot of variables were being built in, and I think ultimately that's what we saw. And, you know, how can corn go a lot higher when you've got wheat drifting lower? You know, wheat had the poorest report out of anybody when it comes to the U.S. and the world both. And so I just think it's unrealistic to believe that you're going to get a big push higher on corn unless it's got wheat as its support.
So it does not have wheat as its support. What did those numbers look like for wheat?
Well, when you look at the numbers, they did lower the amount of imported wheat by about 5 million bushels, but then they turned around and lowered feed usage by 30 million, and therefore it added 25 million onto the carryout. Now, if you look at the current wheat acreage that we've got, ran a couple numbers, and if you look at demand remaining where it is, if we come in at 44 bushels, we get a carryout of 516, a little lower than where we are. 46.8, we got a carryout of 645, 47.5, a carryout of 676. So there's a lot of question there. I think when you look in general, the El Nino that we've got working at the moment is rather bullish for wheat, especially in Australia and in the southern plains, you know, because that we should have dry periods there, which wheat rather likes. And so I think in general that's just all coming around and in the background is what it is.
All right, so something to wait for. And in the mean space, corn went lower for the day. Do you expect it to continue that way when trade resumes this evening?
Well, to be honest with you, I do. I know I talked with Dave about this earlier, but I think it's important. We looked at the last seven April reports that were trending up going into the report for corn. And when you looked at that, basically what you saw happen was on the day of the report, anything could happen, higher or lower. But after the report, 86% of the time corn traded lower, 14% it traded sideways. And so, you know, it's a circumstance where, you know, will it follow that trend? It certainly has that in place. That's since 2003 is what we look back at. And so, you know, it's just a situation where I think the trade is waiting to see when the funds will blink, okay? At the moment, the funds have been big buyers. The traditional funds are long going into the growing season, and there are 284,000 long corn this morning, 193,000 long beans, 48.5 long wheat. Well, if you look at that, and you look at a chart on where they've been, back in 2013, we went to 370 long and on corn, and in 11-12, we went to 440 long. So can they go longer? Certainly, but they didn't do that when we were coming into the growing season. They did it after we were into it. On beans, they went to 250,000 back in 12-13, and on wheat, the longest we've ever been is 63,000, and that was back in 11-12. And I'm talking all the way back to 1995. You know, so these are numbers that have some real history behind them. And I just think what you're seeing is the fund-following people are waiting to see if the funds are actually going to step aside. I think the funds were disappointed in the numbers this morning. They wanted something bigger than that. And, you know, the black box is bought on the open. But, boy, it sure didn't take long for it to back down.
All right. So when you look at the bean numbers in greater detail, where does it tell you that marketplace is headed?
Well, you know, if you look at the U.S. numbers, they increased the imports by 30 million, which I don't think anybody was surprised by that. That crush went down by 5 million. Seed by 4 million, but exports went up by 50. And at 1.58, we're still not high enough for where we stand. So I would expect that most everyone will be looking for more imported beans to be added to the balance sheet when we get into next month's trade. I just don't believe they're going to take us much lower than where we are. We don't want to be an unreliable supplier. And then when you look [S2] Right. [S1] At the world numbers, you know, Brazil lost a million metric tons. So production went down at the world numbers. Crush went down just a little bit. Other went down a little bit, and yet we still ended up dropping the carryout by 1.2 million metric tons. So in general, you know, the bean circumstance is just how many beans are going to come into the U.S. from Brazil is going to be the big question. I'm sure that's going to be on everyone's mind.
Well, we'll have to try to answer that one later, too. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You, too. That is Jackie Vick. She's with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on this Wednesday afternoon.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's talk about this morning's USDA WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, in some detail now with the ag economist at the University of Illinois, who's tasked with watching such things and has been for, well, several decades now. Daryl Good is with us. Daryl, thanks for being on hand. Can you take me through the numbers as they were released at 11 a.m.?
First, in the case of corn, Todd, the major change the USDA made in the domestic balance sheet was to raise the projected exports for the current marketing year by 125 million bushels. That puts us at a projected level of 1.75. That's a full billion bushels more than we did last year, and really a quicker recovery in exports than most of us thought would happen. That 125 million bushel increase obviously then comes out of the projected year-ending stocks, reduced by 125 million at just over 1.33 billion bushels expected to be on hand September 1. So continues the pattern that we've seen for several months now of a smaller projection of year-ending stocks. On the world scene, USDA also increased the projected size of the Brazilian corn crop by 2 million tons. That's about 80 million bushels, so that might add a little bit to the world supply situation. But the big news, I guess, is the domestic balance sheet. On soybeans, a few more changes involved there. In recognition of the rapid export pace and the large level of export sales, USDA raised the export projection for the year by 50 million bushels. And to accommodate that, increased the projection of imports by 30 million bushels, reduced the projection of domestic processing by 5 million, and then cut about 5 million bushels out of the so-called residual use of soybeans. So that really tightens up the balance sheet, even with those larger imports, looking at carryover stocks of 135 million bushels, which clearly is getting down to minimum pipeline supplies. In the case of world scene, USDA did lower the projected size of the Brazilian harvest that's currently underway by a million tons. Again, probably not unexpected, given the late season weather there.
When you look at the projected cash price for the old crop on both, they raised the bottom end on both, but not necessarily the top end. Surprisingly enough, the top end on the soybeans and the range came down just a bit.
Right, and I think that's in recognition of the fact that much of last year's crop has already been sold. So what USDA is projecting is the season's average farm price. So we have to think of that in terms of weighted terms. And so that the bottom end of that has come up because spot cash prices have remained above projected levels right through the winter here and into the early spring. So the midpoint of their projection is $13, I believe. And that's come up 50 to 75 cents over the last several months. So it's going to be hard to take out the high end of their range because we just don't have that many beans left to sell.
And the new midpoint for corn is a dime higher at $4.60.
$4.60. So, again, in recognition of where prices have been and the assumption that the lion's share of the crop has already been sold, so it's going to be hard to change the average too much, regardless of what happens to actual spot prices for the remainder of the year.
And I have a question related to the 460. This is the midpoint that you have projected as the new plateau midpoint. And we have 1.3 billion bushels as a carryout. Is that the midpoint, or is there something amiss here?
Still? No, really. I think, 1.3 billion bushel carryout, the way you would characterize that is a comfortable carryout. It's not tight. It's not restrictive. It's certainly not a surplus of corn. And so it's a manageable level of inventory that I think most people would be happy with year in and year out. Obviously, it doesn't provide a large buffer if we do have another short crop anytime soon. At the same time, it's not a burden to the market in terms of overwhelming supply. So, a carryout of 1.3 to 1.6, somewhere in that range, and a price of $4.50 is probably what you would expect as average in this new era. having said that, we know that in individual years, just as we have the past three, we will vary from that midpoint, but that's where you would always expect to retreat to under normal conditions.
Then as we look forward into the 2014 crop, or the crop that has yet to be put in the ground for the corn and the soybeans, do these numbers have any dramatic impact on what your expectations might be?
You know, I don't really think so. I mean, there's still a question on planted acreage, whether there will be a shift of any kind from intentions this year between corn and soybeans. I think corn prices, new crop, have become just a little more attractive relative to soybeans since the intentions report was released. Is that enough to sway more acreage towards corn, or will that be prohibited by a late planting season? Those questions are still to be answered, but I think in general it still says, particularly for corn, that we would expect at least one more year of a very balanced supply-demand situation with trend yields and some increase in consumption that would reflect some build in livestock numbers going forward. Says we would have one more year of kind of that normal situation of modest carryover supplies and average corn prices in that mid-$4 range.
It feels much more like a happy medium today than it did last fall.
It really does. I mean, there was a lot of pessimism last fall because of the big crop and anticipation that that rebuilding of exports for U.S. corn would take many years rather than just one year. So we've accomplished all of that in one year, and as a result, we're not going to build inventories to the extent that we thought last fall.
Daryl, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, have you dialed in yet? I hope so. The number again, 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support. Do it right now. It's important. 217-244-9455 on the phone line at the Andersons Logansport facility, the Climbers in Indiana, is Scott Butcher to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about basis in your area.
Right now, things are getting a little bit weaker on nearby corn. A lot of movement right now, obviously, with poor weather conditions. Not much else for the farmer to do right now other than haul grain. So a little bit weaker on corn basis. May, June, July basis still pretty much unchanged to maybe just a little bit stronger in some areas. On the bean side of things, bean basis remains strong with you know, diminishing supplies, I guess, out in the countryside.
And you're on the May contract. Where do you stand today?
Right now, we are 10 under the May here at Climbers.
And so you're what, 492? That's not bad. I would suspect that makes a lot of corn move.
Yeah, and it has. You know, being close to the $5 mark or even a little bit above it definitely has pulled more corn out of the bins and continued to move.
Yeah, but you say it's weak, although 10 cents under is not too bad. Is it going to weaken up?
I think it probably stays where it's at. I mean, it just looks like weather forecasts going forward, if we could miss a few rains and it starts to warm up as we get closer to folks starting to try to get out in the field, this movement is going to stop or slow mm-hmm. down at least. So probably doesn't keep basis from going or weakening up more.
Hey, thanks so much. That is
sure.
Scott Butcher. He's with the Andersons in Climbers, Logansport, Indiana. Hey, have you dialed in yet? 217-244. Les Schulte and I hope you have. 9455 or just went have gone to willag.org. Hit the top of the page where that red rectangle is that says contribute and made your contribution in support of agriculture here. It's kind of important to do it right now. 217-244-9455 or online at willag.org. Right, Les?
That's right, Todd. And, you know, we know it's easy to kind of put it off till the last minute because you're busy doing other things. But if we're your companion, if WILL is a place to go for your information about your business, then we need for you to take a call or pick up the phone and make a call to support this station at whatever level fits into your budget. When you do right now, we have a group of loyal ag businesses who will make an extra contribution. Every pledge we receive that mentions agriculture, Todd, we have this group of businesses. There's six of them. They'll each donate $1 to WILL, and they'll each donate $1 to the ACES Agricultural Communication Scholarship Fund at the University of Illinois. How can you pass up that deal?
I don't think you
can.
Man,
make that $100 contribution to WILL. Put it on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express.
Thanks so much. Les Schulte urging you to contribute in support of agriculture. And when you do, make sure you do tell them it's in support of agriculture. Write that down online at willag.org. That's important. 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455. That's the number to call.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to tell us about the forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start in the Midwest. Producers would like to soon move in the field if they possibly could. Temps need to come up at the 4-inch level. Do you think that'll happen?
I think we will, but it's going to be in spots. I don't think we're just going to see a generalized improvement where we've got both the warm temperatures and the lighter amounts of moisture in the soil at the same time. So field work will advance. I actually think the best field working conditions will be out in the southwestern Corn Belt for a little while here. That would include places like Missouri and Kansas, that's going to be western Missouri, by the way, and parts of Nebraska and southwestern parts of Iowa. Now, the further east you go, unfortunately, there's more moisture either in the soil or more precipitation in the forecast, and it's going to be difficult to get very aggressive out there in some of these fields. But there are some that are going to drain relatively well, and we're going to be seeing 60 and 70-degree high temperatures over these next 3 or 4 days. So we will make a major step forward in being able to get into some of the fields. It's just not going to be a widespread aggressive attack for right now.
If you look further to west, what do you find for the hard red winter wheat belt?
Well, it still looks like it's a dryness fight out there, and everybody's out there doing a lot of dancing or whatever they're doing, praying to get some rain to fall, and the southwestern plains are just not going to get it. We've got three storm systems that will impact the region over the next 2 weeks, and each one of them shows no sign of life for the southwest part of the region. A few showers maybe, but nothing that's going to change the bottom line. Most of this wheat crop is doing all right in the irrigated fields. But even with that said, we did have some winter kill this year, and some of this crop has been beat up pretty bad, and that's one of the reasons why those crop ratings continue to go down, plus the fact that it's not raining. So as we go through this next few days, it's going to get hot out there, some 70 and 80-degree temperatures, even some 90-degree readings in parts of Texas and southwestern Oklahoma. So that's just going to add more insult to the injury, and I don't see a lot of relief in the southwest. But in Kansas and parts of Nebraska, we will see some timely rainfall coming up over this 10-day period, and we will see some improvement there.
USDA told us this morning there's a bigger corn crop to be harvested in Brazil. What kind of conditions are they toiling under today?
You know, that second season corn crop kind of had a little bit of a struggle there for a little while. It was too dry, and then it got too wet. But conditions right now, I think, are really starting to settle out and look pretty darn good. A good mix of rain and sunshine will occur as we move forward through this next 2 weeks. And I don't think there's going to be too many big issues. Brazil's only big problem right now is actually outside of major corn and soybean producing areas in the state of Minas Gerais, where it doesn't look like it's going to rain for 2 weeks and they're already quite dry. This is actually having a bigger impact on their coffee crop and some of their sugar cane than it is on grain or oil seeds. So we'll hear more if you haven't already heard about all the trouble in that Brazilian coffee crop. That's something that's going to impact all the consumers around the world for quite a little while, it looks like.
And finally, a very quick word on the Chinese corn crop. It's going in the ground.
Yes, like gangbusters, actually. They are really off and running. The temperatures there are warmer than normal, and the soil moisture is almost ideal for the early crop planting in the central parts of the country. And these trends are going to continue for a while. And I think they're going to get a lot of crop in very early, so they'll be ahead of the game.
Thank you so much, Drew. We appreciate it. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and he, like me, hopes that you have dialed in, if you haven't, at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support for willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.